quick thank you to our sponsors for making this podcast possible. They keep this show free to listen to.
I came to parenting with everything I learned in childhood: yelling, punishing, controlling, and shaming. After trying almost every method, I found connected parenting and was totally shocked when empathy, listening, doing away with rewards and consequences, and being a safe place actually worked. It moved the behaviors of my children and it felt good, especially with my very strong-willed and highly sensitive oldest daughter. This podcast was born out of the idea of sharing the message and helping parents find more peace in a modern world. Welcome to the Peace and Parenting Podcast. So glad you're here.
Welcome back, everybody. It's me, and I have a lovely guest, Nadia, who is...
Hi,
how are you? Do you want to tell us where you're from and how many kids you have?
West Coast, two kids, two girls.
Very nice. How old are they?
3 and 7.
Okay, good ages. We like those ages. Nadia is a private client of one of my coaches, Martha. And how long have you been working with Martha?
Since end of December.
Okay, so a few months.
Yes.
And we want to hear your experience, what you've learned, what's happened during your coaching, what's happened during your time in Peace and Parenting, and just your thoughts on us. So before we get started, our first question is, what were things like in your home before you started this work?
I would say that I'm a very controlling parent, to be very frank. And I thought correction was a good thing. I saw it as something that I should do and that I should do more often. Whenever I see something, I gotta jump on it. And that gave me a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety. Yeah. And my older daughter, she's 7, she's very sensitive, like me. And every time I corrected her, there would be a lot of tension. And in the beginning, a lot of meltdown. And then it became tension. And then it became a lot of talking back, a lot of fight backs. And I took that even harder. And I thought, okay, this correcting thing is kind of not working. I was kind of lost. And then I stumbled upon your Instagram page. And it really resonated with me because that's how I felt at home. It felt like that was exactly how you described it. It was not peaceful. It was not calm. And I felt like I am trying to connect with her with all the wrong ways.
Yeah.
And so I read your book, Unpunished. Okay. And I listened to all your podcasts over and over again when I'm driving. And it has helped me so much. But I felt really stuck last Christmas. They were home all the time. I'm a full-time mom and I have my own business. So I work when they sleep. And I felt like it was a lot of anxiety with me and with them, and that I knew it was not about them. I knew it was about me.
Yeah.
But that didn't help anyone, or it doesn't get anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I really was hitting a wall. So I heard all your podcasts. I read the book many times, but I'm still not exactly sure what's happening. So right. When I reached out, I was connected with Martha immediately. And after we did our first one-on-one, she really cleared a lot of things up for me. Like, she immediately said, okay, how about this? Did you try this? And my initial just response is always like, no, of course I didn't try that. I didn't know that that's what I should do. Because I thought, you know, no, I didn't think of that. And then after reading all the material that you have, they were really, really helpful, especially the brain science part that really spoke to me.
Yeah.
And I also read a lot of books on parenting where they talked about brain science, but they didn't put it in such a way that it feels like I could relate to. So Martha is all about using empathy and using play. And it's really difficult for me to do play with them initially because I was not played with. No one ever played with me. And empathy was hard because nobody empathized with me when I was a child. So it's like, what do you mean? I should tell them that I understand you. I feel you. But now I do. I can honestly say every time something happens, I am more than happy to be there and tell them that I'm right here. There's nothing you can do that's going to upset me. This is all about you right now, and I'm right here. And I would open my arms and she would just release tears, anger, words. She would kick and shout. And I'm like, I'm fine. I'm fine. You're mama bear. And this is what I'm made to do. Like, this is what I'm supposed to do right now. Now I know.
Oh, it's Nadia,
that's very so empowering.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
Because I didn't know that you could to do that, you could just sit there. You don't even have to say anything. You just have to be ready and anticipate it and be ready for it. And now, like before, bedtime was difficult. After school was difficult. And I felt like there's nothing I could do to make it better. And I did a lot of special time. I even moved it up to when, right when school is done, like we would do that immediately. Mm-hmm. And I see a huge shift with her and her sister. I feel like, because it's not really about her, but I felt like she was picking on her all the time, picking fights. During mealtime, she would say the meanest thing. She would just not be happy with her sister. And I realized it's because I'm constantly correcting you. You're just modeling the behavior. So I stopped doing that completely. We don't.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. That's what I was going to ask you. No correcting at, because a lot of people have a hard time with that piece. But just tell me, what's your experience from going from correcting all the time to not correcting? And do you see that she's like crazy out of control and ill behaved?
So I stopped correcting altogether. Me and my husband, we don't correct anymore. I'm just going to put it at that. Yeah. And I can see that sometimes she's like, really? You're not going to say anything, because usually you say something. And I'm like, no, you do whatever you want. You do whatever you see fit. And then she would do it, because that's the correct answer usually, because she's not trying to get a response from me. And I realize that now. Whatever she is doing that is making me angry, upset, or whatever feeling, is because she's trying to get her reaction out of me.
Yeah.
So now I say, okay, thumb war. Or I say, do you want a hug? Because I need a hug. You know, I do some, try to be cute. And then I go, like ants on her body. Like I would just like, is that what you want? Is that what you need? And then now that when I see the younger one gets upset now, whenever she has a lot of feelings, she will go give her a hug.
That's so
shocking.
Cute.
I know. And she would just reach out for her and be there for her. And then whenever the 7-year-old is having big, huge, explosive feelings, and she would blame it on the younger one. And then the younger one would be like, you didn't mean to. You don't mean this. You are upset. And that is okay. So she would say things like that.
Look what you're teaching them.
I know. And I really wish I did this earlier, instead of just kind of like battling in the dark, literally blind. Like, I just felt like if I read the book, if I do this and that, that would be enough.
Yeah.
It's more than that. And your modules provide much more than that. And the one-on-one is invaluable, because Martha would tell me immediately, so what about this? What about that? And she would tell me the advice. And I immediately see, like, she knows I'm different. She knows. She can feel it. And I always thought, what do you mean connection? I'm with you all the time. Is that not connecting enough? It's not. It's not. I now know.
Isn't that crazy though, that we, I mean, me too, like I'm super connected to my kids. I was a stay-at-home mom for 13 years, and it was like, I was the most disconnected parent there could be. All those hours didn't make me more connected. In fact, I think they made me less connected, because like you, I was correcting all day.
And I really feel that way.
Yeah. That's so good.
Before we dive into the next segment, a quick shout out to our fantastic sponsors who make this free podcast possible. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her questions via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her responses or use their voice-to-text feature. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something your future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I used mylifeinabook.com to compile my own stories to give to my daughters for Mother's Day. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code PEACE at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code PEACE for 10% off today. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart.
ByHeart features a patent protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Their formula includes the most abundant protein, alpha-lac, found in breast milk, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum. ByHeart is an easy-to-digest formula, which includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey-to-casein ratio like an early breast milk, making it great for a newborn's digestive system. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula made with certified clean ingredients, including organic, grass-fed, whole milk, not skim. What it doesn't have is soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast. Use code PEACE for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Let's dive back in. Tell me about your older daughter's meltdowns prior to, or her upsets prior. What were they like?
So she's jealousy all day long. So ever since her sister was born, she's just very jealous. And I felt like I was very protective of the young one as well, because she's the baby. And I'm just like, no, don't do that. And so your podcast really resonated with me, especially your book, how you feel like you're trying to protect the younger one. And what kind of role model would I be if I'm not protecting the younger one? Right. So I was constantly correcting her. And it's really weird to say this, but I am like professional level in shaming, because that's what was done to me. I'm so good at it. It's like my choice of weapon. Now I don't do it anymore at all. And I found that by saying these things, it kind of hurts me as well, because I'm the mom. I indirectly feel that way. So whenever after we have a fight, it's so immature that we do that, that I used to do that. It feels like I am sad about the way I behaved more so than anything.
Yeah.
Well, her meltdown was loud, explosive, and it wasn't violent, but it was just very loud and very sudden.
Yeah.
And so I felt like I need to protect the younger one. And I would tell her immediately, you need to stop. Stop this now. Look at what you're causing. It was fine before, and now you're so loud, and now the younger one is crying. But now I step in and I say, I know that was a lot, right? You didn't want your sister to touch your things, and you don't like it. You don't like it. And I keep saying that. You don't like it. You hate it, actually. And then I will hold the younger one in my left, and then I will hold the older one, and I would hold them together, and I would just keep rocking her. I say, I know you don't like it. Keep rubbing her back. And I would just keep repeating the same words, like, I'm here. I know you're very upset. And that is okay. I'm going to hold you right now. We're just going to be here for a few minutes. And like your module said, it's going to turn into anger first and then sadness. And then slowly she'll be okay. And then she would look up all of a sudden. It's like, okay, you're back online. I see you now.
Yeah, you get that eye contact and you're like, yeah, okay, yeah, I can. They literally change from one person to the next, I feel like.
Literally one person to the other. And I'm like, okay, you're back.
Yep.
You're that back wasn't online. You before.
Your brain's back online. You're thinking.
Yeah. And then she's like, I want to go play. And then she would just go. I'm like,
okay. Good. You're like, and you're exhausted. And you're like sweating and exhausted and dying. And they're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you notice now? What are the biggest improvements that you've seen?
She doesn't pick on her anymore. She is very, extremely lovely with her. She is so sweet with her. Like all the things that you said would come true, they do come true. And it's been like that for weeks now. And it happened really quickly because we dropped, like we went cold turkey, like, okay, no more correction, no more blaming, no more anything. And immediately, I want to say within 2 weeks. And she's so sweet to her now. She will even take her to the washroom. Before, she wouldn't. Because the younger one will announce, I need to go pee. And then we need to kind of help her up the toilet. And just to make sure she doesn't fall, she's quite young. And then so now she'll be like, I want to help. I want to help. And then she needs a spoon. I got it. I got it. She would run and bolt and get the spoon. And she would put the bib on her. Like she would just want to do things. And then I see that and I acknowledge that. And I say, you're so sweet to your sister. And I say that it's not your job to take care of her, but you do it so wonderfully.
Yes.
Without, and I'm like, oh, you're so sweet. And now when I still, obviously I'm not perfect. I still have meltdowns. When I have a meltdown and then I repair, she tells me, I know you didn't mean to.
That's so cute. You're going to make me cry, Nadia. It's so cute.
That's why I wanted to do this. Yeah.
You know, this is a testament to how hard you've worked. Because it's not easy doing what you did, to say, just to come in and be like, yeah, I'm not going to correct anymore. That sounds
so
easy.
Hard.
so hard.
No, it was so hard. And I wasn't sure. And I felt like, so me and my husband would stay up all night talking about, so what about discipline? And I'm like, well, what about discipline? You tell me, you trying to sell me.
Yeah.
And I said, once that connection is broken, it takes a lot of time to fix it. And I think that we're on the right route. And I don't want that to break again. If I ever happen to go offline again, I will apologize. I will repair. But it's not, I no longer believe in that anymore.
Yeah.
You are perfect the way you are. And it's about guidance. It's not about me telling you that you're wrong.
Yeah. Oh, it's so beautiful. So beautiful. Is your husband a believer now?
Yes.
Oh, good. Yay. We got another convert. Welcome to the dark side. Great. Amazing. What do you have to say about Martha? Has she been helpful?
She has been very helpful. She's very, very calm. I love that. Even though during the calls, I'm not so calm sometimes, she's very calm and she would always say the right things. It's very weird. Like she just knows sometimes I just need to be listened to. And sometimes she would tell me what I can do, maybe try this and try that. And she would always ask me the most difficult question. So why do you feel that way when she does that? What is it triggering about whatever she did? And then she would ask me, so how was I treated when I did that at a younger age? It's just little things like that. Yeah. And then I think that the big chunk of the work that I did was more to like be aware. Why am I upset when she does this? Is it because how I was raised? And 120%, that's it. That's why. That's exactly why. So I feel this way because of that. And now I know her triggers too, as well. When her sister does something, it's because before I would react a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And then so she's like, I did not hit her. I just touched her. I'm like, you're not in trouble, baby. You're not in trouble. And then she believes me now. She's like, I know. I don't like it when she says that. I'm like, I know. But you know, she's so young. She will say things like that.
Yeah.
But doesn't matter what she says, it's not going to change how I feel about you. I tell her that.
Amazing.
Like, you're
reprogramming your whole family. You're changing the trajectory because these girls are, you know, maybe someday they'll be parents and imagine what kind of parents they're going to be.
Our Sundays and Saturdays are so calm. Like she will just want to, for example, do puzzles with us and we can just do it. And our sister will break some parts and that's okay. Sometimes it's not okay, but then I hold space and then we kind of breeze through that part because she knows, okay, you're going to be here for the next 5 minutes. And then, okay, I can continue to play now. So it's a lot calmer. I am not upset at everything. And it's just, it's easier to be at home.
Yeah, good. Tell me, if you had to tell somebody like yourself, who said, I listened to all the podcasts, I read the book, I did the thing, and I still couldn't get it. What do you tell them? What should they do? And what difference did it make?
I feel like the biggest difference is that because everyone is different, everyone has a different story. Yeah. So that one-on-one is very special because she will immediately tell you something. I want to call it the blind spot. Mm-hmm. Like you don't see it yourself unless it's somebody talking to you directly, listening to your story.
Yeah.
And they know what your blind spot is.
Yeah.
And then you've got to really want to try it because I was skeptical. I would listen and be like, okay, no correction, but still I would just do it.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's not really correction. I'm just telling you, no, it is correction because I hate being corrected.
Who does like being corrected? Nobody does. Nobody likes, and it doesn't feel good. I think too, it's like the coaching. And if you do the group coaching or any of the programs, it's, we're holding you accountable. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to come every day and say, oh yeah, I'm not correcting. Am I or am I not? I did this. Is that correction? Mm-hmm. And then you put yourself in check when you have someone there, you know, holding you accountable to it. That's what I think is such a good piece of it. I'm so excited for your family journey and your progress.
Thank you.
And you, like, you did it. Like many people will come in and say, oh yeah, I'll stop correcting. Right. But they won't go cold turkey. They'll have a really hard time getting rid of it. And I think because you went head first, you've been really sick.
And I think another key advice is that I think in one of the modules, you kind of mentioned this, that you have to, in order to stop correcting, you have to stop feeling bad first. You need to empathize with yourself that I am not a bad parent, just don't know how to do this. And it's been really hard. And kind of give yourself grace for that. Because if you feel resentment, if you feel like you're just screwing up every day and this is really hard, but then if you don't love yourself first, it's very hard to love unconditionally, because you can't do that to yourself first, then you cannot do it for anybody. And I feel like that's the biggest piece for me, that I decided, okay, I'm going to do this for myself. I'm doing this for myself, actually. It's very selfish. I want this because I want a calm family, and I want teenager girls that will call me when they're like you and your girls.
Yeah.
And I still listen to your podcast every day, like to, you know, relive. I need that constant reminders, and I need that affirmation that everything will be okay, even though we don't correct.
Yes, everything will be better.
Exactly. To be honest.
So much better if you don't correct. Esme just told me, we had breakfast this morning because it's a rainy day in LA. And of course, they close down the whole city when it rains. And so she was home from school and she was like, just hang out with me. Just hang out with me. I was like, okay, I have a podcast, but I'm going to hang out with you. And so we hang out and talk, and she wants to be with me. And she goes, Mom, you're my best friend. I'm going to miss you when I go to college.
Oh my God.
And I just like my heart. And then she says to me, I want it just to always be like this.
Yes.
I just want to be here with you and just to live with you and be here with you all the time. And I feel like they're making me go to college today. They're making me go to college, and I'm going to lose my whole life with you. And I just thought, God, I feel the same. Like, she's got to go and I don't want her to go. And I didn't, but, you know, 13 years ago, I would have said, please send her to boarding school. Like, I got to get her out of my face. And
I know what you mean.
And there's no correcting. And she's a beautiful kid. We don't have to do it. We really don't.
I know. I'm a firm believer now. So I just got to stay on track. Yes.
Stay on track. Stay in the community. I am so, so excited for your journey. I'm so glad we found you. I'm so glad you found us, and so beautiful. Thank you so much, Nadia, for being on here. And thank you for trusting Martha and I to help you.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Best thing ever happened to me. Thank you.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.